We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on the House passes a $768 billion defense policy bill, and there was an attempted child luring that put two Washougal District schools under temporary lockdown.
And a former Proud Boy sentenced to 10 years for assault, and earthquakes are shaking up the Oregon coast.
But let's get right into it.
Former Proud Boy sentenced to 10 years for assault and other charges at Portland protests. Former Proud Boy member Alan Sweeney has been sentenced to 10 years in prison with 3 years probation. Sweeney has previously identified himself as a member of the far-right Proud Boys group, although a Friday press release from Schmidt's office referred to him as a former Proud Boy. An Oregon jury found Sweeney guilty in October on 11 charges stemming from his actions last year during the Portland protests that began after a white police officer murdered George Floyd. The charges included multiple counts of assault, unlawful use of mace, unlawful use of a weapon with a firearm, unlawful use of a weapon, paintball gun, and pointing a firearm at another. Sweeney injured a man's eye by shooting him in the face with a paintball gun, sprayed people directly in the face with bear mace on multiple occasions, and aimed a loaded Ruger 357 Magnum at a crowd of people. Prosecutors with the district attorney's office presented evidence that Sweeney used social media to amplify his white nationalist beliefs and to threaten and incite politically motivated violence, and that his beliefs motivated him to commit the crimes. At sentencing, Senior Deputy District Attorney Nathan Vasquez called Sweeney a white nationalist vigilante cowboy who traveled to Oregon for the specific purpose of engaging in political violence. The 120-month sentence is slightly less than what prosecutors had sought. In a December 9th memorandum, Schmidt's office recommended 130 months in prison, declaring Sweeney was a danger to the community because of his social media statements and testimony that showed that he has no remorse for his actions, no desire to change, and every intention of engaging in future acts of violence.
Man.
Boy, that's social media.
Listen, if y'all didn't learn anything, like it's social and it's also media. So
meant for all the eyes,
bruh. You're being your own news network. Understand that, yo.
Yeah,
10 years. I'm not mad at that. That sounds like some preventative medicine. Like, he was out there with a paintball gun. He could have done some serious damage with the real gun, and right. Even still with the paintball gun. This is an effort to send a message. I'm with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, even pulling from that last sentence, showing that his social media said he had no remorse and no desire to change, every intention of engaging in future acts of violence, like,
bruh,
laid it all out that, this is what I'm doing.
Yo, this makes me wonder, like, what was on his social media? Like, what were you still saying after the fact?
That.
Like, man.
And it was something wild.
Mm-hmm.
this is something, like, I'm glad that, you know, although love the idea of burn down the walls of all of these confinements.
All of it.
In moments of you're doing the absolute most because you think there is no repercussion, there's moments like this that we get the, I mean, you know.
Where else should he go? No, you're right, though. I mean, for his social media to come into play, you know, after he's already committed these acts. And
right,
like I said, that was a sign that he had no remorse and planned on doing more. That really does speak to how invincible he felt. that I could just really just, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, yeah, I shot a couple people in the face with paintballs. It's whatever. And we back out there. See y'all in February. Outside. Black History Month. We on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it had to be that type of activity.
What I would like to know is, you know, when we see the videos of when people get that sentence handed down, how their whole demeanor switches up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing what was it that same energy of no remorse and I'm proud and every action would have still been an action in that moment.
I mean, just the fact that he is referring to himself or the defense is referring to him as a former Proud Boy, I think that says a lot.
Oh, he gave it. He converted. Off the cuff.
He's like, let me get this up off me. I'm not even about that no more.
A county jail convert is wild.
Yo. Hold up. Let's explain this for the people real quick, too. County, not prison.
No.
County jail convert. This is where the lower level offenses are handled. Mm-hmm. One. Mm-hmm. Two, the whole idea of a county level convert. You're not about any type of consequence for your actions. No. You're not. You didn't take any of that into consideration. The whole understanding of this is part of the game. Once you're mm-hmm. in the game, that, you know, this just This is how you participate. This is what, yes. you know, it's part of the whole dynamic.
Yes.
No, none of that.
The fact that you most likely then gave your life over to whatever higher being there is before you even hit the penitentiary.
Bruh.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It says a lot.
Yeah. He was
like,
mm-mm.
He's like, nope, not for me. Nope.
I am no longer a proud boy. I am quite shy. I am a shy man. Your Honor.
For people who are not grasping this, it'll make sense someday. There'll be a moment. There'll be a documentary you watch, something, and it will make sense.
No, there's a real easy way to clear this up. Jail is not Oz, okay?
No.
Okay. What you saw on HBO is not how it happens at the county.
Not at the county level.
Not at the county level. Not even close. Not even close, bro. And my man was like, Proud Boy, who's that? No.
He said, wrap it up.
Oh, man, wow,
it happens.
It does. What else happened though? The national news: the House passes a $768 billion defense policy bill. Oof. When I read this and was putting the story together, like I made the same face you're making right now. I was like, how many millions get you to a billion? 768 billion?
Yeah. Because my mind went to, this is just under the trilly mark.
So.
This is over 3/4 of the.
Yeah. So the House on Tuesday overwhelmingly passed the $768 billion defense policy bill, roughly $24 billion. Above what President Biden had requested, angering anti-war progressives who had hoped that their party's control of the White House and both houses of Congress would lead to cuts to military programs after decades of growth. Ooh. Instead, the measure provides significant increases for initiatives intended to counter China and bolster Ukraine, as well as the procurement of new aircraft and ships, underscoring the bipartisan consensus on Capitol Hill for continuing to spend huge amounts of federal money on defense initiatives, even as Republicans lash Democrats for spending freely on social programs. One of the major challenges our military faces right now is dealing with the rapid pace of technology. It's getting the Pentagon to better and more quickly adopt the innovative technologies that we need to meet our national security threats, said Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of Washington, and the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. Those threats are very real. Leaders of the Armed Forces Committees also excluded the House-passed bill to repeal the 2002 law authorizing the invasion of Iraq, which has been stretched by multiple administrations to justify military action around the world. Repealing the authorization was expected to win broad bipartisan backing in the Senate. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, and one of the lead authors of the measure, told reporters he was confident that the issue would get a vote in the near future, citing a commitment from party leaders. Good luck with that. Also missing from the final legislation was a provision passed by the House that directed Mr. Biden to impose sanctions over the Nord Stream 2, an undersea gas pipeline running from Russia to Germany, that lawmakers fear will give Moscow undue leverage over Central Europe. In a separate vote on Tuesday, the senator shot down a bipartisan attempt by Senators Bernie Sanders, Independent of Vermont, Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, and Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, to block a $650 million arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, they shot it down. The three lawmakers argued that sending the package, including 280 air-to-air missiles and nearly 600 missile launchers, would reward the Saudi government for continuing to wage war in Yemen. This sends the worst possible message to the Ukraine, as Putin's forces stand at his doorstep, Senator John Risch of Idaho, the top Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, said of the decision to pull the language from the bill. So much for Congress reasserting its role in foreign policy. I'm going to roll it all the way back to the top.
Yeah.
That's
where I'm still at.
At $768 billion, $24 billion more than what Biden had requested. Now, I could be wrong. And I did see this on memes, so I'm rolling the dice. $24 billion could put a sizable impact in college debt, from what I understand. It could do like something close to eradicate it. $24 billion more than what he asked for. We need a defense budget increase of $768 billion. Is this their way of telling us, like, Independence Day, Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, aliens? Like, what are we defending against?
And that's the part we will never know, right? Like, because that's such an ambiguous thing to throw out, the technology. And I do understand,
right,
we are dealing with the world, right, and their advancements. But that's just an arbitrary, like, we have no concept of that. So to say pretty much $1 trillion, let's just say
it's $1 trillion. I don't care
that we throw in towards it. But what you pointed out, that 24 billion above,
bruh,
we asked for this. That means numbers were ran. Like, I'm going to say Biden didn't just come up with that on his own. There was a team of very intelligent analysts.
Exactly.
Who ran the numbers. Came with a number. Biden was like, okay, this is what we'll need to make that happen.
This is what we're going to need to fight aliens.
That. And then to come through with, okay, we're going to give you that and throw a little something on top of that.
Bruh.
But we ain't got the monies for...
For none of the nothings. Yo, $24 billion is a lot of money.
That's beyond a lot of money.
Yeah.
That is the most of money. like, let's be for real about that. And I think, too, I think more in the recent years, we hear numbers thrown out. So, like, us hearing that 760, like, we know 768.
Right.
But we don't understand a 1 billion in terms of how that relates to your understanding of money.
Right.
So now take that and multiply that 768 times. There's nothing in your brain, at least most of the listeners that are listening in right now, our mind is not going to wrap around what that means.
Right.
As far as how much that is.
Don't tell me we don't have money for stuff. Anything, as a matter of fact, when $768 billion is going to defense. That's just, nope. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Especially when, as you pointed out, we can think of how many things $24 billion could go towards as far as just your basic necessities of living the human experience.
Yeah.
Not above and beyond.
Right.
Like just services. Think of how many people are under the poverty line.
Right. And
these good old United States, but we want to make sure we got tech guns.
Right.
Like let's put some of this stuff into perspective. And this is a moment where I wish I had time to like have built out what could be done with that type of money to run through, as opposed to just being like, we could have done all kind of stuff, but to actually hit these things. But I'm sure if anyone takes time and I'm sure there's some, what do you call those?
An economist?
Data viz sheets that you can go and pop some numbers into and see what that would affect.
Yeah.
In these good old United States.
All right. So before we move on, I want to hypothesize real quick.
Okay.
Yes. $768 billion is a lot. However, you and I, we are fans of technology.
Mm-hmm.
We're also fans of armaments. If if they were showing us the laser rifles, would you be like, okay, so we do need a bunch of them, y'all? Okay, and then the missiles split into eight other missiles that have lasers on them.
Yeah, show us more than the B-52 bomber. Like, in my mind, we're still, the furthest we've got is the stealth plane from, like, 93
Can
that I used to try to make out of paper.
Showed us the stealth bomber in the news, on posters, in all the movies. It was like
that's it. In my mind, that's where technology stopped. That was, like, that was the pinnacle. I have not seen an updated war machine since then.
And then the way they even roll it out was a whole lie. It's stealth. It don't turn invisible. It scrambles radar. Y'all lying. Y'all made it seem like the drone go vroom, and then we could see through it. Like it's an X-Men plane. And
which also, not. As a child, I used to question this very thing about us talking about if UFOs came, we would be able to see them. And I was like, if human technology can scramble up y'all radar, why isn't just a little bit smarter? That was my brain at 8, 9. Trying to figure out how, what are y'all talking about telling me
why that lying?
We would be able to see UFOs if they came, because we can almost not be seen by radars. What do you mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if we could see something.
Yeah, just give us a little something. Do the little open of the jacket like with the dude in the 80s cartoons that was selling stolen watches would always open the trench coat. Yeah. Show a little something. Just show us a little sneak peek.
It's a smart grenade. It go where you need it to. Just let us put the pamphlet together. Let's see some of the new tech in these films. No more stealth bombers.
The what is gonna be. That's just the what is gonna be pamphlet.
Right. See, and then they would have us. If they was cutting out what it's gonna be quarterly, and okay, the fall edition, this is okay. Like, it's a car show. Okay.
The fall edition.
Okay, they putting camo on these.
Yeah, because in my mind, you still pull the pin out the grenade, count to three, and then
throw it. What are we doing?
Are we doing that still? What's the newness?
Is y'all still out here with rocket launchers on your shoulder like Rambo? What is happening? Is it still Delta Force? I don't know.
Definitely, and that, to me, leading to arthritis.
Right. That, to me, don't... That, to me, don't need $768 billion. Not for more of that. No. Mm-mm.
Nah. Yeah. Well,
what you gonna do?
Getting into some other news. Attempted child luring put two Washougal District schools under temporary lockdown. Hmm. Two Skamania County schools were put on a modified lockdown Wednesday morning as deputies investigated an attempted child luring incident, according to the Washougal School District. Students and staff at both Cape Horn Sky Elementary and Canyon Creek Middle School were put under lockdown for roughly an hour. According to the school district, a student was waiting to be picked up by the school bus on the way to Canyon Creek when the luring attempt happened. The district said the student reported the incident to staff, who then called 911. Deputies quickly responded, directing staff to activate the modified lockdown while they checked the area for a suspect. The lockdown was later lifted from the two schools when law enforcement determined that there was no known threat to the campus at this time. Classes continued as usual for the day, and students were let out at the standard time. The sheriff's office is continuing its investigation into the incident. Authorities are asking for nearby residents to check any security cameras for footage from Wednesday morning between 7 and 8 a.m. and look for a small black sedan or SUV in the vicinity of Canyon Creek Road. The district said deputies will have an increased presence at both schools and in the general vicinity for the rest of the week as they investigate. Authorities are also working with a forensic artist to get a sketch of the suspect.
Look, y'all better stop playing with people's kids, man.
And also quit playing with Ring cameras.
Hello.
Let's be serious about, like, the times we are in now.
Yeah.
And this is for the creeps in the world.
Yeah.
Let's just take it that there's a regular city block in a residential area,
right,
has 10 homes on a street, 5 on each side. Out of those 10, let's just say high, we're shooting high, one has some type of surveillance, right, rather on their doorbell, right, or hanging off the garage, something is there. And it's crazy because in this past couple of years, we've seen a crazy amount of footage of incidents happening.
Oh, yeah.
That came from a Ring camera.
Absolutely.
Or some sort of derivative of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where we're capturing most of what we see.
Yeah.
Based on the camera.
Yeah.
And quit being weird, of course, off top.
Top like, of the list.
Child lore, like, what are we doing in the world? And with that said, clearly some people are still doing that in the world, because I don't understand why they want to be caught if anything else.
I mean, seriously. I mean, and you were definitely like, yeah, 1 out of 10. That's enough of a probability. You should just like fall back, like, yeah, just fall back all the way. Yes, number one, stop being weird. Two, what are you doing? Like, nah, that's so wild that people would still move around that bold, especially out there, right? Where the probability of there being cameras on those particular homes,
yeah,
is a lot higher.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot higher.
It makes me think about, like, where I can't wrap my mind around the logic of somebody hitchhiking in 2021.
No, I could never wrap my mind around that logic at any part in my life. I never.
Yeah.
That never felt safe. Ever, ever, ever.
Ever.
No.
And so in the now, okay, I can understand it from an actual, like, my car broke down. I'm sure. Trying to. But as a driver of a vehicle on a freeway or wherever, looking at somebody with their thumb out to hitch a ride, I can't wrap my mind around where there's ever a second thought outside of, I'm going to keep driving.
Yeah. I mean, I have been in a situation, ran out of gas in my young youth, and someone stopped on the side of the highway to give me a ride to the gas station and brought me back. And the entire time I was fearful for my life. The entire time.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, come on, man. That was like 2004, 2005.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something that I can give to, like, someone next to their broken down vehicle. but someone just standing with a backpack or not, just somewhere, like, hey, pick me up. I can't wrap my mind around it.
No.
So in the same space of that, there's this idea of you're still sitting on the side of the road trying to lure the kid to the car. Where does that make sense? And I guess, although at the same time, I'm trying to make sense of something.
Right. That's completely outside of your understanding and character on some real. Like,
yeah.
Y'all pulling up to the school. Y'all pulling up to the school to try to lure some kids. Like, zero luck with that.
Zero.
Zero luck with that moving forward. So there has been a recent swarm of earthquakes. We need to talk about that. Off of the Oregon coast, which continued Sunday morning with a 4.4 magnitude quake about 260 miles west of Newport, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Like the scores of earthquakes that took place earlier this week, this one occurred in the Blanco Fracture Zone at a depth of about 10 kilometers. The two biggest of those earlier tremors had a magnitude of 5.8. No tsunamis were expected from Sunday morning's quake, which struck at 9:52 a.m., according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Small earthquakes strike often near the Oregon coast, a regular reminder of the cataclysmic earthquake geologists say will happen when the pressure building between the Juan de Fuca and North American plates releases. I've been hearing about this for a minute. Per Oregon officials, scientists say there is a 37% chance that the 7.1 magnitude or higher earthquake will happen at the boundary between the two tectonic plates called the Cascadia Subduction Zone will happen in the next 50 years. Bruh.
Look, I am still scarred from the show Sightings in my youth.
Yeah.
Being a San Diego, California native, the most southern point of California, the show used to talk about the fault lines throughout California, San Andreas and all that, and there'd be this crazy earthquake that was going to happen on the West Coast, and it was going to break off California from, drop. And it was going to just be out of there, and some little islands that would be left. And so when I hear about tectonic plates doing their thing, there's parts that are bound to happen. History has proven that it's gonna happen. In thinking earthquakes, have you ever experienced an earthquake?
I did in Philly. I want to say this is around 2012 2013.
Okay.
Yo, it was really, really crazy. So I was home, kids were in school, I was off that day. And I worked at the time, I worked downtown. I think the office building we were in had 10, 12 floors in it. So I'm home. Right behind our backyard is our train tracks.
You okay?
So it happens, and the vibration's ridiculous, and like dishes are shaking, and I'm like, man, like, did the train fall off the track? Like, what is going on? That's crazy. That's wild. And then the news later on was like, we just had an earthquake. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're in Philadelphia. Yeah. We had no earthquakes.
Yeah.
And when I went to work the next day, people were saying no. Like, people that were at work that were in taller buildings were like, they felt like the building sway. Ooh. The higher up you were. And I'm like, oh, no.
See. I've had two experiences that I know of. One was the first time being in Seattle, and I think I was like 10. And walking from my room to the living room, and made a joke of like, because felt something, because it couldn't explain what the, because you're not used to the ground
doing a
wave.
No, not at all.
So there was that moment of like, what could be shaking? I was like, made a joke about an earthquake, because it wasn't that crazy violent shaking.
Right.
It was more of a wave that was going through. And then, like you say, it was the news pops up like breaking news. The other one was just in 2019.
What?
When I went down to L.A. And went down to LA over 4th of July weekend. Mm. Crazy moment is that was staying in an Airbnb of like this high rise, super high rise, and it's probably 20 floors or so. Mm-hmm. The parking structure was under everything. So I go hop in the car, get in the rental, fire up the rental, and I'm sitting there for a second, waiting on the passenger to come down. And there was a moment, so my experience with having like old school V8s, having that rumble, right? It was legitimately a moment that I'm the car is doing the run, and I was like, wait, no, new cars don't
rumble like this.
They don't do that. And then felt that and was like, duh, is this an earthquake?
Bruh.
Like, and again, in that moment, still was like, that's the furthest thing from my brain.
Yeah.
The shaking stops after, you know, let's say like 30 seconds or so. Passenger comes and gets down. I make a joke about like, I feel like there was just an earthquake. Like, it was this weird little shake. Go hit LA, do the little things I'm doing. Happen to check a news feed. Oh, it was a whole earthquake. And in my mind, I was like, that's how, like, if that was a real, real thing.
Yeah.
I'm in the parking structure under the building.
Over.
Like, Rap it's City. Rap City.
Rap City.
That quick and that fast. So those are my couple experiences. I don't know what, when we've all seen the videos of, like, the violent shake, like, that idea, if I've, even just the uneasy that you feel with those small rumbles that you and I have experienced before, and thinking of if this was violent, the earth shaking. This ain't a building shake.
Nah.
This is the earth doing what the earth does. That, to me, is one of the wildest.
Seriously. We're blessed in our ability to crack jokes during an earthquake. Be like, that was, I felt like an earthquake. Yo, that's wild.
Yeah.
Whole earthquake, though. Like.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I am not looking forward to any serious 7.1 or higher. Like, I remember being at a City Club meeting in the EcoTrust building. And if you have a chance to check out that facility in their event space on the first floor, they have those big iron, like, cross beams.
Okay.
That are along the brick. Okay. And from what I understand, there's a lot of buildings that have done that type of reinforcing in preparation for the inevitable earthquake that we're supposed to get. But, like, when you hear this could happen in the next 50 years, it gives you a false sense of security because it could happen in the next 50 minutes. It could just happen.
Boop. Boop. That's the thing.
I love it out here. I am not trying to move. No.
Where do you go? Like, does Alaska have a fault line running through
it? I mean, the earthquake is like, move or be moved, fam. Like, I'm not. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know what? Make sure y'all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. as you sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers. Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush. Music by C's. All this. 40-50.
Hey. Also, we want to see y'all this Saturday. We want to see y'all this Saturday. Where there's at? A thing that is happening.
Where is it at?
At the Portland Art Museum.
What?
On the fourth floor. I got to watch my calls to action. I can't tell you to show up. I can't invite you. I can just let you know.
There's things that you could be doing.
There's some things you could be doing. There's some things you could be doing. You could, if you so inclined, you could check out some products, some wares for some local Portland creatives.
They creative.
You know, at the Numb's Bodega this Saturday from 2 to 5. If you wanted to. If you, you know, it's just something that's happening. That's all.
You happen to scroll through those, stroll through those doors.
Yeah. And you could. You could find out more information on the Numb's Bodega Instagram. There are some items there that are limited releases. Mm. You know, special editions.
Specials. And who knows? Might be some familiar faces
what?
In that place. Who knows? What? You've heard the voices. What? You've heard the voices.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, kid?
I mean, the face and the voice, and then it all comes together. Who knows?
Hey,
come through. Way to find out.
Come through. You're taking pictures with people. Mm. You're taking pictures with fans. It's like $10 for the Polaroid. You know what I'm saying? We'll sign the bottom of the Polaroid.
The Sharpie's own deck.
Exactly. Be back, though.
Yes, that's.